Welcome to the Dissertation Dive. This is a special podcast series where we dive into dissertations of scholars who completed their doctoral degrees in the past several years. As you know, the dissertation is the culminating experience of a doctoral journey and includes independent scholarship that is significant to the field. So I thought it'd be a great idea to dive into some exemplary dissertations. In this episode, I'm joined by Dr. Margaret Enstrup, the author of the dissertation titled Physical Education, Teacher Education, Students' Perceptions of Physical Education. Dr. Enstrup, thank you for joining me on the Dissertation Dive.
Thank you for having me participate in this podcast series. Before we begin, I would like to thank my dissertation chair, Dr. Chris Unger. He obviously played a significant role in this process. I would also like to thank another faculty at Northeastern University, Dr. Wendy Crocker, who provided guidance and support for me throughout my doctoral journey. And I look forward to sharing my story with you all.
Great. I'm looking forward to this conversation as well. And I was excited when I found your dissertation. I actually found it through the dissertation database and ProQuest just by searching, you know, keywords related to physical education, and have looked through it, and just have been excited to learn a little bit about it and to share it here with others. So we'll spend a lot of time today looking back at your dissertation. But first, what are you up to now in terms of your career?
Sure. I am an assistant professor at Utica University, and I'm a professor in the physical education, exercise, and wellness studies major there. So I mainly teach mostly the health and physical education teacher preparation students.
Yeah. So can you talk a little bit about your background and how did you end up pursuing a doctoral degree focused around physical education?
So I had always thought about pursuing my doctoral, pursuing my doctorate, but it wasn't until I started working in higher education that it really pushed me to do it. I came from a K-12 teaching background, and obviously it's not required for that to be part of the process, but and at the time, you know, I was teaching, coaching, raising a family, so like I didn't really have the time to fit going back to school. And so what I did was, or once I got into higher education, it really gave me that push that I needed to pursue my doctorate. And then once I got onto the tenure track position, I remember sitting down with my dean at the time, and she strongly encouraged me to pursue my doctorate. And that's what I did.
Yeah, well, glad to hear that you got that encouragement and you, you know, found your way into a doctoral program. How did you go about selecting a doctoral program that fits your needs? It sounds like you were kind of well into your teaching career. And so I'm sure it was, you know, in a process that was really important in terms of aligning a program with your interests.
Yeah, so I did a lot of research in different programs before I actually selected the one that I did. I really wanted, in the beginning, I was looking at programs that had a physical education doctorate program, but there's very few of those, and many of them are in person. And like I said, at the time, that wasn't something that I was able to do. So through my research, I came across Northeastern University's doctoral program. And what stood out to me in that program was that they start you right from the beginning of the first research class you take. You're already starting to work towards your dissertation. You're either practicing stuff to be able to do that, or you are actually starting to put pieces together for your dissertation. And actually, before I even was accepted into the program, I had to submit my problem of practice. And so that really got me thinking about, you know, what did I want to study? And being that I just got into higher education and I was seeing a trend of, you know, the different perceptions students brought in the program, that's what really ended up pushing me to do it. And so through Northeastern, they had a curriculum teaching, learning, and leadership concentration, and that's what I studied.
Wow. Is that a cohort-based model where you would have had other, you know, colleagues to go through that experience with?
Yes, it is. And also, you know, they set it up so that you can take either one course at a time or two courses per semester, depending on how quickly you want to get done with it. But yeah, there were several people that I started with and then I ended up finishing with. And the program itself was 100% online, which is what I needed to do. And what with two summer residencies thrown in there during that time.
Yeah. Interesting. I remember seeing the Northeastern faculty and folks at Shape America. I believe they set up a booth to recruit from time to time. And pre-COVID, I remember picking up a brochure and learning a little bit about that program. So it's great to learn more about it from you here. So it sounds like you started thinking about your doctoral degree even before you entered the program. But you, of course, you got in and got into some courses and eventually had to really focus in on your research interests so you could propose that dissertation. What were some of the influential things that led to your selection of a dissertation topic?
Yeah, so like I mentioned, once I got into higher education and into the teacher preparation program, I was seeing a trend of students coming in with perceptions of physical education, based obviously on their past experiences. And so when I was trying to figure out, you know, what I wanted to do my research in, I was thinking, well, I would like to know whether those perceptions change or not, or what we can do as PEAT faculty to help change those perceptions. And so that was really what inspired me to choose that research topic. And like I said, you know, even to get into Northeastern's program, I had to have that, I had to have some idea of a problem of practice that that I wanted to research.
Yeah. So it sounds like, you know, your research was really grounded in the work we're doing at Utica. So let's dive into that a little bit more specifically. Can you talk a little bit about your research question or kind of the specific aim that you hope to achieve from this study?
Yeah, so when I first started, I had my overarching research question, which was, how did the way PEAT students experience physical education in their K through 12 years affect their perceptions when they entered the program? And whether or not those perceptions changed over time, if at all. And so that's what I started with. But then I had two follow-up research questions. One being, how can perceptions of physical education be enhanced through a PEAT program? And then the one that actually guided my action research the most was, how can the delivery of multiple perspectives of various stakeholders broaden and deepen pre-service teachers' understanding of physical education? So those were the three research questions that guided my research.
Very interesting and important questions for the field. I know a lot of folks in higher education are thinking about that in regards to the university where that they work. So clearly an important topic. So I'm sure you had to take a dive into the literature to help kind of learn a little bit about what's already known about this this topic that you're investigating. What are some of the things you learned that helped shape your study?
Yeah, so from the research, I learned more, I guess, about the occupational socialization and the role that it has in shaping students' perceptions of physical education. I always knew about it, but, once I started to research it, it made a lot more sense in terms of what I was actually researching. Obviously, you know, with occupational socialization, you have the three stages: acculturation, professional, and organizational socialization. So for me, then one of the main focus was acculturation, right? What were their experiences like? Were those shaping the perceptions that they had coming into the program? And then obviously also the professional organization, you know, what are we doing in our program to try to help change those perceptions? And so that's why, you know, for that part of it, the occupational socialization was a big part. Then I also looked into perceptions, based on how students experience physical education. And, you know, physical education is a cycle of replication when it's taught, when it continues to be taught how it was experienced. And so after reading a lot of research and articles and, you know, so hearing that, you know, their past experiences shape how they're going to teach based on maybe that last secondary physical education experience. And so that was another part of it that I looked into. How those perceptions, how the perceptions kind of go right into the marginalization of the subject area, right? So I looked into the marginalization, that aspect as well. And then the final piece that I kind of brought in was how the impact of technology as a learning tool can help people tell their story. So, you know, through the use of videos and allowing people to have those opportunities to share their stories, you know, something that they're not going to get out of a textbook or through a PowerPoint presentation from their faculty member. So those were the three main things that I really looked into in terms of the research. Like I said, I'd known about a lot of it, but once I did that deeper dive into the research, a lot of it made sense in relating it to what I was actually researching as well.
Yeah, so it has a strong foundation as you move forward with your study, actually. So you proposed some methods to help you learn about and address those questions in your specific context. Can you talk about that approach?
Yeah, so for me, I was action research, qualitative research. More specifically, action research that was used for the study. And, you know, it goes back to Aaron Anderson. They're the big action research authors that talk about action research. And as a method, you know, you start with a problem with an intended outcome or change. And so an action research is usually used in the educational setting, which is kind of why I chose to take that approach as well.
Yeah. So one thing as I'm listening to you talk, I was thinking is you said you went and you got into the program, you were already identifying the problem right away. Were you thinking about actual research then, or is that something that kind of came about as you got further along?
Well, the program itself, the Northeastern, the doctoral program, they really kind of push the action research. Like that's what they would like you to do is an action research, you know, when using the qualitative research method, they would like you to do that. So yes, I mean, to answer your question, yes, I kind of knew that that's what I was going to be doing right from the beginning was, you know, here's the problem. What am I going to do to help change that problem?
Yeah. Thank you. And that makes a lot of sense, given that you were, you know, position as a practitioner at, you know, in your profession, and so someone who's able to kind of carry out action research approach. So I want to talk about the data collection phase, which is really interesting because I don't get to talk a lot about action research projects. So I'm excited about this part. And I know for doctoral students, this is when a lot of challenges come up. It seems to never go the way you expect it to go. How did that go for you? Did it go as smoothly as you thought it would?
No, it did not. So the beginning of it, so the way that the research project was set up, and there was two cycles. Cycle one, that one did not go as planned because of the lack of willing participants. So that was really one of the frustrating and challenging pieces of, you know, that part of the action research. But so with cycle one, I wanted to study students' perceptions when they were coming into the program. So I wanted to kind of get information from some of the first year students. And I used a survey for that. Unfortunately, I did not get as many participants as I really wanted to for that piece of it. The other part of it was on the other end, because I wanted to know if perceptions change, I interviewed alum from the program. And as time was going on and I wasn't getting the participants that I needed, I kind of had to change what I was doing. And it actually was very beneficial. It helped me out in a good way. But I had to, I shifted gears and I actually interviewed fellow PEAT colleagues. So people that were PEAT faculty in different programs around the state. And so, like I said, it wasn't what I intended, but it actually worked out very well. So going into cycle two of the action research, I wanted to make sure that I wasn't going to have a repeat of not having enough participants and things like that. So I really had to think hard about how I was going to approach, you know, getting the data that I needed. And one of the ways that I did it was I used a lot of secondary data. So stuff that I was already doing in my class, I used a lot of that information for the cycle two data. And that really helped that time. I didn't, you know, when it came to the final piece of trying to interview some of the participants, again, the response rate was low, but I got a lot of great information from the secondary data that was being used.
So you had different types of data in AND and two different cycles. And I know you mentioned qualitative research earlier. How did you go about making meaning from that, from the data that you had?
Yeah, so obviously with qualitative data, there's a lot of, you know, different steps that are kind of involved in that process. And so from the cycle two data that I collected, you know, most of it was from either Google Forms or, you know, from a semi-structured interview. So with the data from the Google Forms, I put everything into a spreadsheet. Interviews, I transcribed. And then what I did was I put them all together and I used coding. So I used in vivo coding and more specifically verbatim coding. I used those. So I used concepts and phrases from the participants. That's basically what it came down to. So with all of these different phrases and such, and the codes, I created a code book. And from that code book, the you know, the different themes and categories develop. And then from there is where the themes emerged, or the, you know, the findings emerged from the actual research.
So about the findings then, what were some of the most important findings from your study?
So I had four major findings from the study. The first being that videos were an excellent supplemental tool for learning. And so, you know, this was obviously the videos were in addition to content being taught in the course. And so the videos that I showed reinforced the content that was being taught. Actually, let me back up. Sorry, I missed an important piece of my action research. So for my action research, what I did was I created three videos based on the cycle one findings. So the information I got from cycle one, I created three videos with physical education professionals in those videos. Anyone from K through 12 physical educators. I had some graduate students in there. I had PEAT professionals, PEAT faculty, things like that. So I had a variety of stakeholders in the profession. And so I created three videos. One was based on the marginalization and perceptions of physical education. The other was occupational socialization. And then the third was quality physical education. And so in those videos, I just asked them to share stories and examples. So there was a lot of storytelling, a lot of, you know, examples from real life experiences. And so that made it really relatable to the students to hear those stories. So for the first finding was that the videos helped reinforce the information that was being taught in the class. So they gave the students a better understanding of the topics. Basically, it helps create an awareness. You know, everyone has a story to tell. And so those videos provided that opportunity for them to tell that story. And one of my participants actually said, nothing from a textbook or PowerPoint slides can make you learn something like hearing a story told from the heart. And so, you know, that was the impact that hearing those different stories had on the students through watching these videos. The second finding was that the different perspectives helped deepen the pre-service teachers' understanding of physical education. And so they felt that they gained knowledge from hearing those different perspectives. And some of them even said that it changed the way that they, going into the future, would look for them. It would be a lot more, it's more different than what they had expected. And so really deepen their understanding from, you know, what takes place in the profession. The third finding was that there was an influential physical education teacher or coach that played a role in occupational socialization. So almost all of my participants had mentioned either a teacher or a coach as someone who influenced them into becoming a physical education teacher. And so obviously that's the acculturation, you know, phase of occupational socialization. And so videos, some of the some of the stakeholders shared stories about why they went into the profession. And so the students were like, oh, I'm not the only one who went into the profession to, you know, because of a teacher or a coach. So it made it really relatable to why they had actually chosen that profession as well. And then the fourth finding was actually the most surprising finding for me. And that was that advocacy in physical education is essential. And the reason I found it interesting was because it wasn't a topic that the students had learned about yet. We address advocacy in physical education later in the program, more towards their graduate courses. So they hadn't learned about advocacy yet, but hearing the professionals and the videos and their stories and talking about advocacy really hit home with them. And one student participant said, we have to be active members in changing the narrative of physical education. And I thought, wow, that's a pretty powerful statement that they learned just from hearing these examples or hearing these stories of when, you know, physical educators felt marginalized in their profession, or, you know, what other people's perceptions were of physical education. And so many of the participants said that these videos opened their eyes and were all unaware of how others viewed physical education. So I think really one of the things is that it created an awareness, like, you know, among the students. Some of them said that they felt more prepared for the challenges they might face as physical educators. So there was a lot of great information that came out of this, of these videos and of this action research.
Yeah, well, that's really interesting. You mentioned the surprising finding around them being aware of advocacy by seeing these video models. And that seems really impactful and something that might carry over, you know, into your future work and will not only impact those students that are part of this dissertation process, but maybe students in years to come as well. So you had several important findings there. I think four that you highlighted. Was there anything that you would say is kind of a take-home message from your dissertation?
Yeah, I just think that the take-home message is that, you know, if there's a physical education will continue to be a cycle of replication if PEAT programs don't try to break that cycle, right? And so sharing and hearing stories and examples from other people's perspectives, it makes it what we're trying to teach more relatable to the students. You know, everyone loves a good story, right? Everyone loves storytelling. So finding a way to incorporate that into a PEAT program, or having people come in or having videos where people get to share their stories, you know, and it helps reinforce the content that's being taught as well. And so that may help change the way that pre-professionals view physical education.
Yeah, absolutely. So you finished fairly recently, I think. Did you say last May?
Yes, I did.
So if you had to go back and do it all over again, would you change anything or do anything differently?
Yeah, the one thing that I would change would be the way that I collect the data in the cycle one. Like I said, it was a challenge trying to get willing participants. I would probably go back and use more secondary data. Looking back on that one. Like I said, though, however, the data that I did collect was very beneficial. And it made me really think about, like, okay, moving into cycle two, how am I going to collect that data? So, like, you know, I really had to kind of start thinking outside the box a little bit in terms of that. So that was, you know, that was probably one of the things that I would do differently.
Yeah. So how has this dissertation impacted your career so far? I mean, it's still pretty recent, but have you shared the findings or done other things that's really helped move you forward?
So, yeah, it's obviously it's impacted my teaching, right? I try to make be intentional about offering opportunities for my students to hear different perspectives and stories from professionals in the field. I'm in the process of editing the videos that I created. They were a little bit long. I didn't really like the length of them. So I'm editing those in hopes that I can share those with other colleagues in PEAT programs, you know, because like I said, I think the message and the impact that those videos had on the students were pretty powerful. And so I am trying to edit those videos. I'm also currently working on a manuscript that focuses on just one of the findings from the, you know, how hearing in different perspectives impacted the students in the PEAT program. So I'm working on that currently.
Yeah, that's great. So what's next for you? Are you continuing research on this topic, or are there other ways you really want to stay connected to this dissertation work?
Yeah, so I plan to continue to work on this and, you know, maybe take a little bit of a different angle from it, because I do feel that it's important, you know, trying to help change the way physical education is perceived. And so in addition to that, I'd also like to focus a little bit on the retention of PEAT programs, students in PEAT programs, because I feel that it actually directly relates to those perceptions that the students bring into the program. So, you know, I do want to continue focusing on this research, but maybe also bringing in the retention piece as well.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a big challenge for many of our programs right now. So very important topic. As you know, there's people who listen to this podcast, and some of them may do so because they're thinking about a dissertation or maybe thinking about going to a doctoral program. You've experienced it all. What advice could you give someone who's out there maybe struggling with their dissertation or not sure what direction to take?
So there, I have two pieces of advice. The first is, and this is what my daughter kept telling me throughout my doctoral journey, she kept telling me to take it one day at a time. And it really is a great approach, because if you think about everything you have to do, it gets really overwhelming. And so she just kept saying, Mom, just take it one day at a time. And so that's what I kept telling myself. Okay, let's get this piece done. Then we'll move on to the next, you know, next section or next part of the dissertation. And the other advice I would offer is to find a support group. I had classmates that I went through in the cohort, and we stayed together throughout the whole thing. And towards the end, you know, we relied on each other a lot. We collaborated, especially when we got towards the end of our dissertation, getting ready for the defense. You know, we practiced on the defense with each other, things like that. Finding that support group, whomever it might be, classmates, colleagues, you know, whoever it might be, is really important. And don't try to do it all by yourself, because again, that can be overwhelming as well.
Yeah. So you were in your role at Utica University and decided to jump into a doctoral program, and now you've got through it all. You're still there at Utica. Has it, you know, been worth it in terms of what it's done for you in your career?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's definitely worth it. It's a really great accomplishment. I'm glad I decided to pursue it. And, you know, like I mentioned, I had thought about it before, but I'm glad that, you know, getting into higher education gave me that push to do it. The whole overall experience, the research experience, taught me a lot, you know, things that I'm going to use moving forward in terms of, you know, whatever my next round of research is going to be, I'm going to use what I learned throughout that program. So I would definitely encourage those who are thinking about pursuing a doctorate to do so, because you won't regret it.
Yeah, excellent. I think I've reached the end of the questions that I have, but are there other things that you would want to share with the audience that we haven't been able to discuss?
I can't think of anything.
Yeah, it's been a fantastic conversation. I'm really looking forward to sharing it with others, and hopefully listeners will, you know, reach out and connect with you if they're interested. And I certainly look forward to crossing paths with you on the conference circuit and seeing the work that's going to come out of your dissertation study.
Thank you. Thank you again for giving me the opportunity to share my story.
You're most welcome. Dr. Hibstrop, thank you for joining me on the Dissertation Dive.